Are you all ready? All right, everyone that's ready, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
My, what a response. You surprised me. You almost frightened me. Praise the Lord. I'd like to hear that again.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you are having a camp meeting? I told you last night there's a difference in being at the camp and having a camp. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but there's a lot of people at the camp. They're at the tabernacle. They're not inside. They're milling around outside. You don't know what you're missing out there. And tell you the truth, I don't know what you're enjoying, because that's something I never did do in my life. Never went to a camp meeting in my life and milled around on the outside. I don't know what you got out there. I know what to have in here. Now, we'll forget the first camp meeting I went to after I was a pastor. The first one. I was a very young minister. When I got back home, a precious saint of God came to me and said, "Brother Glass, I want to express my appreciation to you today." I didn't know for what. Said, "I watched you at the camp. And I was so proud of my pastor. For every service, he is sitting in the service and in the front. And I saw other pastors milling around outside, and some of them never hardly ever come under the tent. We had a tent." He said, "I want to tell you, Pastor, I watched you, and I love you today." Praise the Lord! Let me give some of you young evangelists a tip. I'm your friend. I hold up for you. I preach you. And I love you. And I thank God for you. We didn't have young preachers coming on, we'd soon run out. If you want to impress a pastor who actually wants you for revival, show an interest in a soul, show an interest in the evangelism, in the camp meeting, in the conventions. Show yourself to have a burden. Get into the services. You will get revivals that you're not getting. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm a pastor and I watch them. Praise the Lord! Not charging you nothing for all of this. Praise the Lord! Let's give the Lord a wave offering here. Oh, hey, hallelujah! Glory to Jesus! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Thank God! Praise the Lord! Now, we're enjoying being in the Western District. I preached a camp meeting in New Brunswick. Fredericton, New Brunswick. They call it the Harvey Camp last year. It is 10 long, hot days and nights. And they asked me to come back. And I told them, "No, this is the last camp I ever intend to preach." I've been preaching camp meetings since the year of 1935. And I said, "I don't know what they want with old preachers in camp meetings anymore." That was to be my last one. I refused to go back. But when Brother Price mentioned camp meeting in California, 5 nights, just 5 nights, that's all, and told me about how you was planning to have it in some place where there wasn't a permanent campground, I began to think about friends that I knew. Love Brother Price so much. I thought of others here that's friends and have been for so long. Brother David Gray, I remember when he was our youth director. Of course, I'm not going to tell you how long ago, it might embarrass him. And then I thought about going to be privileged to team up with Brother Yaden, and thought of Brother and Sister Harvey, and Brother and Sister Nally, and Brother Hodges. And I began to think of these friends, and I said, I'm a-going. Now, in my mind, this is the last one. In my mind, this is it. This is it. And I'm having a time of my life. I really am. I'm having a camp meeting. I want you to hear me. Praise the Lord. My brother slipped up to me tonight right after that sister was, while that sister was a-singing, and some were just having a time, and I was too. I can't jump as high as I used to on my feet, but I still do in my heart. It's still down here. They said, how does this compare with Louisiana camps? Well, I guess you hear a lot about the Louisiana camps, and they're great. But I've never seen anyone jump any higher than you were. I've never seen anyone shout any harder than some of you were shouting. I've never felt any more of God than I feel right here. Just more people, that's all. Just more of them are doing it. Just more of them are doing it. So I just tell you, I find God to be the same, not only yesterday, today, and forever, but everywhere He's the same. No respect of person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm ready. Thank the Lord. I may get this one out of here. I might ought to do it now. Is this on, Brother Lane? Just give it to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There it is. I have felt this thought upon my heart for several days for this camp meeting. I didn't wait till I got here to think about you and the responsibility of a camp. And this thought is impressed deeply in my heart. And I invite your closest attention to it, and also invite your prayers. I'm reading from the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, beginning. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey. Go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. I've underscored this portion of verse 6. Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. You have dwelt long enough in this mount. And I'm going to speak from the thought, here long enough. It's time to move on. Here long enough. You have dwelt in this mount long enough. It's time for you to move on. I want to stress that thought. And I wonder in the course of this message tonight, if we could, by the help and the grace of God, create a little spark of a desire in the heart of everyone present to move on from where you are. You're here long enough. Move up. Move up. God bless you. Before you sit down, look around. Just look around. Maybe somebody here you don't know that are here. You may smile at them. They may laugh at you. But just look around. Then you may be seated. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you. Thank you. Say praise the Lord. Now this mount referred to here is Mount Horeb. It is the same mount that's known to us as Mount Sinai or Sinai. It is the same mountain referred to. And Israel had been at this mountain for some time. They had experienced many wonderful, unforgettable experiences at this mount. Moses himself had some miraculous experiences at Mount Horeb. It was actually at the foot of this mount when he was tending his sheep that he saw a bush afire. And it attracted his attention because the bush would not be consumed. And the Lord spoke to him out of that burning bush and told him to pull off his shoes. He was on holy ground. And there the Lord told him to go to Egypt and lead his people out. It was at this mount that God revealed to Moses that he was the great I Am. Moses left the mount and went to Egypt, and he has brought the Israelites back to the same mount. They have crossed the Red Sea. They have had wonderful experiences. And now they've been camped at the foot of this mountain or thereabout for quite some time. It has gone into months because Moses spent 2 40-day periods of time on this mountain. That would make 80 days. They were there for several months, and what experiences they experienced. Some of the most miraculous that they had experienced. Some that they would never forget. Some that was stamped indelibly in their heart for as long a time as they would live on the earth. But God is speaking to them and saying, you've been here long enough. There is something more down the road. It'd be hard to move a people from their dwelling place that has enjoyed so many experiences and blessings. Anyone with such an illustrious history to live by and to talk about, to testify about, it's hard to get them to move on. They had something to tell their posterity. They could tell them that we actually saw this mount afire and ablaze. We saw that this mountain smoke coming from the top of it, like that of a burning furnace. We heard audibly the voice of God as it spoke to us from this mountain. What a wonderful place it could have been for them to have remained and stayed. And many people that would have any kind of an experience that they could testify to, it's hard to get them
to move from there. But God has said, it's moving day. It's time for you to move on. You haven't received it all yet. I have some more for you. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? So God spoke to him and said, you have dwelt in this mount long enough. I want you to move from where you are. And I'm going to keep it in your mind. Not too many people are living with a vision ahead for tomorrow. Too many are living in the past and in the present. All they testify about is what God did in the long ago. I stood with the number that's had the Holy Ghost for 40 years. I was ordained 41 years ago this year. And I'll tell you, friends, God was real back there. I don't want to take nothing from those glorious days. Praise God, I experienced the Holy Ghost and fire. I experienced baptism in His name. I experienced revivals. But I want to tell you this, those days are no better than these days. In fact, I'm going to testify, these are the most exciting days I've ever lived in. Praise God, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day. You precious young saints that hear us talk about the olden days, I don't refer to them too often because I'm not living in the past, I'm living in the present. God's the same today that He's ever been. He's never done nothing He won't do again. Praise God, praise God. And the brighter days are ahead of us. Praise God, if we could encourage our people to lift up their eyes. Praise God, and look up. Don't look down. Don't look back, but look ahead. Praise God. I want to say this. Everything in the world we got saved for, everything we left sin for, everything we live for is still ahead of us. We haven't obtained it yet. The goal is still ahead. Praise God. And the Lord is challenging us tonight. You've been where you are long enough. It's moving day. It's time for us to move up. I'm in no position to tell you where you are. Oh, I might see you physically, but I don't know where you are spiritually. Only God knows. And it could be that God is challenging you tonight. I'm going to refer to a few places that you could easily be. You may be tonight in the valley of decision. How long have you been in this valley? It is actually no reproach to find yourself in the valley of decision if you'll make the decision. But if you just remain in that valley, if you just stay there, no doubt in my thinking, there's men and women here tonight that's in the valley of decision. You are wrestling with a decision. Maybe you're unsaved and you're wrestling with the decision whether or not you are to accept Christ. Can you give the world up? Can you give up the pleasures of the world? Can you give up the sins of this world? You may be attached to it. You may be tied to it. But I want to tell you this. You don't have all of that much to give up. All you have to give up is the love of the world. You don't have too much of the world to give up anyway. It's just the love of it. We have just made you feel because of our preaching that you own the world. We say you've got to give the world up. That's insinuating that you have the world. But you don't have all of that much of it. All you have is a heart full of love for it. God bless you. All in the world will ever damn your soul is three little things. It's the pride of life. It's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. That's all that there is to damn your soul. God bless your heart. Oh, the thing that's so pathetic to me and so pitiful to me and makes me feel sorry for people. They hold to such frivolous things that they may not hold to 10 more days in the natural. They're going to give it up anyway. They're going to have to give it up. I've seen people that couldn't give up smoking. They'd lose their health and lose the desire for smoke. I've seen them that couldn't give up movies, and they lost their health and couldn't go. They try to bring them into their homes, but I tell you, it's a movie, wherever it is. It really doesn't make any difference. It's still a movie. God bless your heart. You don't have all of that much to give up, my friends. Let the love and the lust and the pride of these things get away from them. Praise God. Cast your lot with the people of God. It's moving day. I want you to hear me, friends. It's moving day. God's a calling on us to make a move. If I had the time, I could remind you of many that found themselves in the valley of decision. One I referred to here tonight, that God spoke to and said, it's moving day. Get away from Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb, the word Horeb actually means dried up. Dried up. As real as God was. As precious as God was. If they didn't move on, they were going to find themselves in a hot, blistering desert. Without water. Without God. The only way they're going to maintain God is to move with the cloud. And move with the pillar of fire. Praise the Lord! I want to tell you, God's a moving in the religious world tonight. Never before have I known of God to deal with the denominational world like He is now. It's the most amazing thing in our little town. We live in a small town, and we've got one of the largest churches in the small town. It isn't anything too out of the ordinary to see on the bulletin board of the denominational churches. We're going to preach about speaking in tongues. We're going to preach about the Holy Spirit. And their little flimsy argument against this truth is so futile and so frail until it convinces their audience more, them preaching against it, than it does us preaching for it. You can't do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Praise God. Oh, friend, it hadn't been but just a couple of 3 weeks ago. It was on the bulletin board that the pastor of the first church was going to preach against speaking in tongues. And last Sunday night, one of his leading Sunday school teachers was in our church, sat in our service for 4 long hours. And just before 11 o'clock, she threw up her hands, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak with other tongues. I want to tell you, it's moving day. It's moving day. It's moving day. It's moving day. It's no longer time for us to talk about what God did in the past. God's a doing things today. Praise the Lord. I want you to hear me say it, friends. I want you to hear me say it. There's churches that have a beautiful history. They can go back to years ago, and they can tell you about a beautiful history they have. But that's about all they have. It's a history. There's nothing today. It's so dead. It's so formal. It's so cold. They don't have what they used to have because they failed to move with the cloud. They failed to move with the fire. Praise God. I'm glad I'm in a church that's moving with God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If I had the time, I might could help you to understand why there is so many different denominations in all the world. I wish there wasn't. If there is unsaved people here tonight, and you're frustrated, you don't know which way to go, you go to one church and they'll say this is the way. They'll go to another and this is the way. Leaves you out there not knowing what way to go. I'm as embarrassed about it as you are. Not too long ago, precious little couple called me by telephone. Brother Glass, could we come and talk with you? I said, sure you can. They came and sat down in my study, man and his wife. They unburdened their heart. They were so hungry for God. Oh, we're in a hungry world. Yeah. They said, Brother Glass,
We are so confused. We are so frustrated. We don't know which way to go. We want to be saved. And we don't know what to do. They just emptied their heart. Then I said to them, be it far from me to confuse you more. I don't want to add one thing to your confusion. If I can't help you, I'm going to be most disappointed. And I'll tell you what I'd do if I were you. If I'm hungry like you say you are, and I believe you are, if I were you, I would go to the Bible, and I'd find the preacher that God called to preach. I want to say that again. I'd find the preacher that God called to preach. He wasn't a boy and decided, I'm going into the ministry for a profession. He didn't choose it as a vocation. He didn't choose it as a way to make a living for his family. But he was a God-called preacher. He was already situated in life. Already a man. Already had his vocation. Already was out working for a living. But God came along. And God called him to preach. I'd find that man if I were you. And you can find it in the Bible. I'm not telling them nothing about our doctrine. Not a thing in the world. I'm telling them to go to a Bible preacher. And I said, you can find that preacher, and you can find a sinner asking that preacher what to do to be saved. And you can hear that preacher tell them. And if I were you, that's what I'd do. They said, Brother Glass, is that in the Bible? I said, that's in the Bible. I want you to find that preacher. I want you to find somebody asking that preacher what to do to be saved. That preacher's going to tell them what to do to be saved. And if you'll do what that preacher said, you can be saved. You can come out of that valley of decision. You can come away from that frustration.
I want to tell you something else now. That little couple came back to church Sunday night. Sunday night, a black man came in the church and sat down. That's a little unusual for our part of the country. I have a little telephone system in the church. An usher, I have a receptacle on the platform by my chair. He telephoned me and said, Brother Glass, there's a black man in the foyer. What should we do with him? I said, tell him to come in and sit anywhere he wants to. Anywhere he wants to. So this black man came in and found his seat. When I finished preaching, I gave an altar call. And this little couple came to the altar. First time, they didn't know what to do. But they knelt to the altar. Just as they knelt in the altar, someone began to speak in tongues, began to speak in unknown tongues. You could tell that it was a message. Just as that individual stopped speaking in tongues, this black Christian, Holy Ghost gentleman, he stood up and gave the most beautiful interpretation. And when he did, she received the Holy Ghost over here in the altar. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I've never seen that black man again. Never seen him again. I told my church, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of myself that God has to send a total stranger in here to our church to interpret a message so as he can answer the prayers of a lost soul. From that day to this, we have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church. I want you to hear me, friends. It's a day for us to move up in God and find the things of God. I love to read about the Reformation. And Brother Yaden so ably declared today, we're still in it. And that's all true. But we can go back to the day that a great man, a great historian, a great saint of God made one single step out of the Roman church
And he declared that a man is justified not by works, but by faith in God. God bless your heart. He just made one step out. That's all. Just one step. Just one step. That's all he made. That church has never made another step. She still remains the same. The same old tradition. The same old ecclesiastical body. Not one more step. Somebody else had to make another step. Somebody else had to make another. Every step that's been made leaves a cold denomination behind it. We've been the last step. Glory to God, this Jesus name, Holy Ghost message, Jesus name baptism has been the last step that's been taken. Oh! Moving day. Can you be moved? Can you be moved?
I wonder how much longer you think God's going to permit you to live where you're living. Especially when He's calling you to move up. Calling me to move up. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go now to the backsliders. Backsliders, how long are you going to live in that backslidden condition? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'm going to be truthful with you. I'd rather go face God a hippie, a dope addict. I'd rather face God a bank robber. I'd rather face God a murderer. I'd rather face God in any other state in life than to face God a backslider. One that has one time tasted of the goodness of God. One time buried in that lovely name. One time experience the glorious, marvelous, unspeakable, inexplainable gift of the Holy Ghost. And then go back on the Lord and back into the world. The very fact that you do, you're telling everybody that knows you, there's more in the world than there is in the church. You're leaving a testimony that'll condemn your soul in the judgment. It'll haunt and hound you throughout an endless eternity. What a testimony you're leaving. You're silencing many of our testimonies. When we get up and preach the reality of Jesus Christ and the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, the sinners in our audience is thinking, what about those that were once among you? Look where they are now. But that doesn't change the reality of it. Backslider, how long are you going to be there? You better come running to God. You better repent of your backslidden condition. You better plead the mercy of God. You better call on God while you can, my friends. I want you to hear me say it. I want you to hear me say it. I want you to hear me say it. You're going to preach against any sinner you want to in all the world, as low down and sinful as it may be. If they've never known nothing about God, I'd still rather be them in the judgment as to be a backslider. A backslider. You've been there long enough, backslider. You've been there long enough. Now, here's what's hurting us. Here's what's paralyzing us. It's actually keeping us from taking the world for Christ. It's lukewarm, nonchalant, unconcerned Christians. It's holding us back. Did you hear me? And don't say this, none of you here. Don't say that. Don't say that. It's too easy to tell. If you know anything at all about Holy Ghost services,
If you know anything at all about God, God's in this place tonight.
He's here.
He's here. Walking up and down. Blessing everyone that will open their heart. Blessing everyone. But there's some of you people in this audience tonight that hasn't gotten too much out of this service. It's been somewhat boresome to you. You know why? You're lukewarm. You're cold. You're indifferent. How long are you going to stay there? Back in your mind, you have your mind made up. Some of these days, I'm going to get into the church. I'm going to get involved. You better get involved. You've reached the day that you better become involved in the Word of God. I appreciate every one of you. Every single one of you. I have members in my church or church I pastor. I don't like to refer to it as mine. They cleaned up their lives 30 and 40 years ago. They're living a clean life. They dress as a Christian. They fix their, let their hair grow, the ladies do as a Christian. They dress modest in their apparel. The men have never let their hair grow long. And they come to church and they pay their tithes. I can actually count on their tithes today for the rest of this year. Just as punctual, just as law can be. But I'm going to be honest with you. And I preach it to them. They're cold. They're not hot. They're lukewarm. They need a revival. They need a revival. Just last Sunday morning, I preached from the 4th chapter of the book of Acts in the 31st verse where the saints of God that are filled in Acts 2, 1 to 4, they were filled again in Acts 4, 31. It uses the same terms and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost just like it was on this, in the 2nd chapter. They received their initial filling. They spoke with tongues. But when they were refilled, the place where they were was mightily shaken by the power of God. And they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. I said to them, and I'll say to you tonight, what kind of revival could we have? What would we do if every saint of God, if every nonchalant, unconcerned, lukewarm saint of God would get a refilling, would get a refilling of the Holy Ghost, praise God. What would we do, friends? Well, we could evangelize the world. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! My friends, it's moving day. You better move up. You better move up. I feel this in my soul. I believe the Holy Ghost is preaching tonight. I believe the Holy Ghost is talking tonight. Some of you have been pricked in your heart. Some of you know where you are. Some of you know it's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's time to move. I told them, I said, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I won't do. I know when I was filled with the initial filling, nobody will ever make me doubt it. I've been filled and refilled and refilled. But I said, I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost all over again. All over again. And I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I'll tell you this, brother. If you're sitting back there with a little resentment against the Word of God in your heart, all you need is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all. That's all. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me say more. Let me say more. If you're sitting there with a little jealousy, just some jealousy in your heart, if it's there, all you need is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. You're sitting back there with envy, strife. If you've been talking against your pastor, you don't love your pastor. You're withholding your moral support. You're withholding your financial support. You're withholding your influence from the church. God bless you, all in the world you need is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. It'll heal all of our ills. Praise God. Oh, revival, 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 revival. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I want to ask you this question tonight. I want to ask you this question. You answer it in your own heart. How many of you are tired and sick and tired of your present status with God? And you feel in your heart that you want to move up. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Glory!
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory,
thank you.
Praise the Lord.
I feel like saying this. With your permission, I'll say it. I notice in the audience, over the audience, there is some that's worshiping God and some is praying with them that they will receive the Holy Ghost. Let me say this to you, that's what we call tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Listen closely. We have no more Bible for tarrying for the Holy Ghost. There's no more Bible for it. I know many people will go back where Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and tarry. They were waiting for the day of Pentecost. They were waiting out time. But since that day, you find no one tarrying for the Holy Ghost. You find no one tarrying for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost falls while the preacher's preaching. The Holy Ghost falls while people are worshiping God. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. And let me say, brother, permit me to say this. You better fear God. You that go to an altar night after night after night after night in the same church, sinners see you going down there and not getting nowhere. It discourages them going. It keeps them from going. All in the world you've got to do is get sincere with God. Get down to business with God. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost in one moment's time. Did you hear me, friend? You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. Where you are. Where you are. Where you are. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise God! Hallelujah! Throw up your hands and yield to God. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll fill you right now. You don't need no one praying, will you? Just receive the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord! 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 Hallelujah! 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 Glory to Jesus! Bless His name! Bless His name! Keep worshiping God! Keep worshiping the Lord! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Praise the Lord, church. Don't stop. Don't stop. You've admitted that you want more. You want to move up. You pray. Move up. Move up. Enter into a channel of prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 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 Does anybody you want to bring up here? Bring them on. Bring them on. Bring them on. Keep on worshiping, church!